Recorded from the Oklahoma State University Stillwater campus, this is the Inside OSU podcast. Here are your hosts, Megan Robinson and First Cowboy Darren Schrum.
Welcome into the first Inside OSU podcast of 2023. I'm your host, Megan Robinson. Unfortunately, my co-host, Darren Schrum, could not be here today. However, we have an incredible episode for you. Hollywood superstar, Jay Ellis, in the house.
Oh, those are big words.
It's true. I mean, you were
I'm actually really sorry for Darian for not being here.
You were literally just at the Golden Globes, Critics' Choice. I mean, come on. Yeah. You are coming from red carpets to Stillwater, so we appreciate you. Yeah. Taking the time
happy to be here.
How does it feel to be back in Oklahoma?
It feels great. It's really crazy to land at the airport and have memories of being in the airport, and then get in the car and get on the highway and drive through Tulsa, drive out here. It's so funny seeing all these cities, all these towns, off the highway on the way here, and thinking when I was in high school, having to drive out to these places to play basketball, it is all these memories just pop up. It's really cool. It's nice to be home.
So you went to Booker T, correct?
I went to Booker T for 2 years, and then I graduated from Metro Christian.
You grew up in an Air Force family, though.
I grew up in an Air Force family.
So you lived all over the country, yet you call Tulsa home.
Yeah.
Why?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, at one point, my mom's entire family all lived in Tulsa. Then my dad's mom lived in Tulsa at one point. So there were a lot of us here. But I also think of it's all my first in life. My first kiss, my first drive. There's so many things that my formative years are so much here. And it's the first time, too, that I lived in a place, you ready for this, for more than 5 years.
Is that still true?
No. I mean, no. Yes and no. Now I've been in LA for a very, very long time. But Tulsa, Oklahoma is number two on that list for the longest I've ever lived anywhere. So it's also the first time where, even though we moved around in Tulsa a little bit and I went to a couple different schools, it's the first time that I settled into a city and into a place. And actually cared about sports programs. And you know what I mean? All these things were before I was well, we're going to be out of here in 2 years. It don't matter. But Oklahoma and Tulsa are that for me.
You said you played basketball.
Yeah.
Did you ever think maybe a career in the NBA was in your future?
100%. I wrote myself a $120 million check from the Seattle Supersonics, and I kept it on my refrigerator every single day. It was one of those big oversized checks.
So are you a Thunder fan then now?
So then they moved to Oklahoma City, and I like the Thunder. You know what ended up happening? I think I became a player person, but I will say there are some Oklahoma City years that made me very, very happy to be from Oklahoma and very, very much support the Thunder. There are some great runs that they had since they've been here that made me really happy. But yeah, I think I ended up just becoming a player person after they left, after the Sonics became the Thunder.
So you obviously did not pursue basketball. Right. Instead, you're an actor. What made you?
Basketball didn't pursue me. I just want to be clear, just so we're all on the same page. Basketball didn't choose me. At a certain point, basketball was like, hey, you've reached, this is where you're going to go, buddy. You should chill out.
This ain't it. This ain't it. You fell into acting then, or you chose acting. What made you want to pursue that career path instead?
Growing up, moving around a bunch, one of the things that was consistent, my family, my mom loved dramas. She loved Western. She loved Clint Eastwood. She loved John Wayne. She loved Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte. She loved all these dramas. And so I grew up with that. And then on the other side, my dad was into comedies. So I've seen every Richard Pryor movie 200 times, probably. A lot of Eddie Murphy, as he goes from Saturday Night Live into his massive movie career. Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg. And so I think I had this duality of both in the house. And we would always sit around the TV, no matter where we were at, we would sit around the TV and we would watch a movie together or a TV show together every single night. And I think what I loved about that was just for me, it was a sense of family. There was this love that like, oh, I'm sitting with my mom and my dad. We're watching a thing. And like, that was a very comforting feeling. And I think also too, to like, you know, to watch my mom laugh at something that she probably normally would never watch on her own. And then at the flip side, to watch my dad like shed like one thug tear, you know, in a Western or in some drama. Like, it was just this really cool thing of watching how stories and storytelling and performances can really affect people and make them feel something.
Where I first saw you act was in the show Insecure. Incredible show. For those who have not seen it,
thank you.
Go watch Insecure. What was it like to be a part of that cast?
It's crazy. You know, it's so wild. Like, you know, we had never, all of us had met once. Issa and Yvonne had met like one or two times. I had met Issa once. We were all brought together. I was like the elder statesman at that point because I was the only one who had been on a series before because it was my second show. And I was looking around. I was like, guys, I'm still new with this too. I'm really trying to figure it out. You don't want to ask me the questions. But it was this really amazing experience of like we all came together to make this team. It literally was like the little engine that could. Like, we literally every single day were inside this bubble together and just pushing each other to be better, being authentic, being ourselves, getting to tell stories that felt real to us and felt like our experiences, and also like showcase this city that we loved in Los Angeles, my second home. Like, it showcased it in a way that it had never been seen on screen before. And, you know, to do that with people who ultimately have now become like my sisters, and my brothers even, like, it is an amazing, amazing, amazing feeling. You definitely chase that, like, you know, now on the other side of it. And as I look at other projects and think about other things, I'm constantly like chasing like, oh, I want to make sure I go to work with that feeling every single day, because it's really rare in this industry.
One of the things I loved about Insecure is how realistic it felt, mm-hmm. because you see all the other glamorous sides of LA, and then you get into Issa's apartment and right. It's like, this girl right. is struggling.
Yeah.
Like this, but this is so real for yeah. so many people. Why is a show like that so important to pop culture and society?
Yeah, I mean, I think art is like, you know, I think of it in a couple different ways. I think one is it is a reflection of the time that we are in, and it's our duty to tell those stories. And I think also like there is also a piece of escapism that is meant for art at a lot of times. So I think it is meant to like reflect and educate as well as like entertain and like escape. I think there it's all things. And a show like Insecure, I think, did a really good job of blending both of those together, because you see Issa's apartment or Lawrence's apartment or Tasha's apartment or Molly's apartment for her situation. And you realize that people live like this, and it makes you, you know, as a viewer, you go, oh, I live like that. And you're able to identify with those things. But I think it's also really cool, too, because, you know, especially a character like both Issa and Lawrence independently on their tracks, what you really get to see is like the aspiration and like the level up as they grow up and as they begin to look at career differently and work differently and what is success to them. And I think it's just really important to show folks that, because you usually just sit in like, you know what I'm saying, in like poverty, if you will, or you just get thrown into a story with people being wildly like, you know, affluent. Like, you never get to see the growth that happens along the way. And I think that was super important with that show.
I have to ask, as a fan, what is it like? Or
to work with Issa Rae.
Yes, you knew it was coming. She's so, I mean, you're talented too, but she's also, I mean, come on.
You're talented too is never a good way. It just makes, because you're talented too, but Issa.
No, but I mean, to be, you know, to be a part of that show, it's so, because she was the creator of it.
She was the creator of it. She was the originator. You know, it started from a podcast. Started from a web series. That then grew to be the show that it was on HBO, the show that it became. And Issa's amazing, man. I, you know, she is someone who you can pretty much call at any hour of the day. I mean, she goes to sleep like mad early, but she also wakes up at like 4 a.m. So that's part of it. But like, she's somebody who you could call at any hour of the day. She is giving. She is loving. She is a great sense of humor. She is someone who, with the amount of success and responsibility that she has, she never takes herself too seriously. Like, she will laugh at herself at any point, which I think is also a really amazing quality. She leads by doing, which I think a lot of people think leading constantly has to be like verbal, and that's not her style. She just is like, hey, I'm gonna show up to work every day and I'm gonna do the work. And it makes you want to show up and do the work every single day. And you can't complain when like the boss, the writer, the creator, the editor, like she's doing all of it. She's got 26 more jobs than you and she still shows up and does it every single day. And it makes you want to do it more. And I will say, like, last thing, her vision for that show and her point of view for that show was so clear that although, you know, she was stepping into a new medium in television, she was so specific and so clear that it made every single one of us jump in and work harder to support that vision. Like, my job as Lawrence on that show wasn't for me to shine individually. It was, how do I best serve this story that this person has created, because I believe in it so much. And I think everyone from grips to sound to makeup and hair and set deck, like everyone felt that every single day.
We'll talk about you now. Enough about
Thank
Issa.
You so much. Issa.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, had to ask while I had the opportunity. You were recently in a pretty big blockbuster, Top Gun Maverick. You're from an Air Force family. Yeah. What was it like when you found out that you were going to be in that movie?
It was wild. It was like, at first, for a while, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. I didn't even know. We didn't even really know what it was. You signed on to a movie and we didn't see the script until like weeks later. Like, they wouldn't let us see the script until after our contracts were done. So I actually didn't know what the movie, was even going to be. But it was crazy. I remember calling my parents and I was like, hey, I just booked Top Gun. And my mom just started screaming, like screaming at the top of my lungs. And then she like quiets down and my dad is like, yeah, man, that's cool. But that's the Navy, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, that's too bad. You couldn't be a perfect son. And I was like, what? Like, his Air Force like competitiveness like was just like, man, yeah, that's cool, but it's still the Navy. But it was, you know, to see how excited they were, you know, and again, coming from, you know, my father and both my grandfathers were the Air Force. So like, and my step grandfather was in the Air Force. So like, having four folks who have spent so much time given to this country and specifically in aviation for this country, to me was like such a beautiful thing to be able to do. And then you get to go to work with Tom Cruise every single day on top of that, which is like, you know, you have no idea what it's going to be like. You try to guess and then it's like 2,000 times better than anything you could have ever imagined.
What was the preparation like going into that movie?
Hard. Very, very hard. I don't think any of us thought we were really going to fly in the movie in the back of F-18s the way we did. I think all of us thought we were just going to take a couple of flights just to understand it, and then we would green screen it, which a green screen is like when you shoot it on a stage and it's basically like you're just in a cockpit and they just rock the cockpit back and forth while you act. I think we thought that's how it was going to actually be. And then Tom showed us some footage right before we started filming and he was like, I'm going to teach you guys how to do that. Very intense, brows furrowed. And we were like, what? Man, this dude is crazy. Get out of here. Like, what? And he was like, no, I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to teach you how to get up in an F-18 and fly like this every single day. And we were just like, okay, but you're not going to tell him no. Also, you want to be in the movie. And flying an F-18 sounds badass. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to figure it out. So he put us, Tom created this like flight training program for us. We flew 3-4 days a week across three different types of aircraft. They were like anywhere from hour and a half. They were usually an hour to 2-hour flights, depending on the day.
When you say flying, were you flying?
Yeah.
You're properly flying.
Being taught to fly, but you are in control of the plane. Like, by my third flight, I was taking off. By my fifth flight, I was landing.
Were you terrified? I'd be terrified.
Yeah, maybe when you first learn it and maybe like your first 2 or 3 times. Yes, you are terrified. And there's always butterflies. So let me not back up and be like, ah, I'm going to just go get on the plane right now and fly us. That's not the case. There are butterflies 100%. But you do, you know, Tom's whole reason for wanting us to do it was to become confident and to walk. He always talked about like pilots are like gunslingers in Westerns. Like, they just know, they know how to use it and they know where it's at and they know how to reach for it. And they just walk with this like assuredness and this cockiness and this swagger. And, you know, that comes from being great at what they do. And so he wanted us to have that same kind of feeling when we got in the F-18s. And so we had to learn how to fly. We had to learn how to do all of it. Every maneuver that's in that movie that a plane does, we had to learn how to do it ourselves while flying a plane somewhere over the valley in LA, like in Van Nuys or Santa Clarita, like over one of these valleys. Like, we literally were learning it for ourselves.
How often did you pass out?
I've never passed out in a plane.
Really?
That's not my testimony.
Interesting choice of words there.
That's not me. I was really, really fortunate. I did not have, we all had very different reactions to flying. Number one, it was disorientating for everyone. The first couple of flights, no way around it. Some folks could not hold their lunch or their breakfast and they threw up every single flight. Some folks, Lewis Pullman, who plays Bob in the movie, tells this story of, like, after one of his flights, he fell asleep in his car in the parking lot of our flight school. He basically fell asleep in his car for 2.5 hours and woke up and it was like pitch black outside and didn't know what happened. And then, like, drove home and still got home and passed out. And when he got to bed, like, didn't eat, just went to sleep because it was so exhausting and so much work mentally and physically. But we all had different reactions to it. I think for me, like, I definitely felt exhausted after every single flight. I was starving after every single flight. And not because I didn't eat before, but just because it's a full workout. You're using, you know, in these maneuvers especially, like, you're using so many muscles in your body, and you're also constantly thinking, and you're talking, you're listening to air traffic control, and you're talking to air traffic control, and there's just so much going on. And then as you pull maneuvers, like, blood is just rushing up or down, and all this G-force is pushing on you. So I do think, you know, it's a full workout. But I had this thing when we got in the F-18s, when we started filming the movie, where, like, I literally could stop drinking water 24 hours before I took a flight. And as soon as we got in the air, I had to pee. The minute we got off the runway, I'd be like, I got to go to the bathroom. And my pilot would be like, hey man, you got to figure that out. can we go back down? He's like, nah, man, we're not going to land the plane for you to go pee. Like, you're just going to figure it out. There's a bag back there. Figure it out. And I figured it out literally for every single flight.
Every single flight. How long were you up there?
So you would probably start, you know, we did this thing called we would do a brief and a debrief. So you brief before your flight in what we call a lunchbox, which is just a big trailer. And there would be about 40 to 50, it'd be about 45 people in that trailer. It's our director, Joe Kaczynski, our editor, Eddie Hamilton, Jerry Bruckheimer, one of the most amazing producers ever, Christopher McQuarrie, who was producing and wrote, Tom Cruise, obviously, all my other co-stars, my pilots, and then every department head, hair, makeup, props, everyone is in there. And then you have about 20 people from the Navy in there, pilots, who are also listening to your brief. And you basically talk about where you're going to fly, what you're going to go capture, what scenes you need to capture, where the sun needs to be when you're capturing it, which direction you need to be going, what speed you need to be going, what altitude you need to be at. And then from there, you basically go across to the hangar, you get geared up, you get in the plane. It's about 20 to 30 minutes of checks for the plane where you're loaded in. Pilot starts up the plane. The ground crew basically goes through all these checks with the pilot to make sure it's good to go. And then you head to the end of the runway. If you're flying in tandem, you wait for your partner. If not, you take off. And then you're in the air, I would say, for about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes total. But you've probably spent 2.5 hours in the plane because of your checks and stuff. It takes about 2.5 hours total to do a flight.
What role haven't you played or character haven't you played that you would like to play in the future?
Oh, man, so many people. I would love to play Arthur Ashe. I think Arthur Ashe is such an overlooked story, like such a genius as a human being, obviously an amazing tennis player, but like also like what he decided to do with his platform at the time. Especially for apartheid in South Africa when they wouldn't let him come play there. So I think that's such an amazing story. And then he died so young. I've always wanted to do, I think I want to do a Rick James biopic, and I'm going to call it Super Freak.
Would watch 100%.
I just feel like that's such a massive song, and like it has probably like been on speakers in every single continent. Like, it's just like hits like that, I think, are just so amazing when they are able to literally travel the world. And I think people who have those moments oftentimes are maybe misunderstood, or they just get thrown into something and get lost into it. But not even realizing that they've created something that is like legacy and like massive and will last for decades. I don't know. There's so many, there's so much stuff I would do. I would maybe do a superhero. Maybe, I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of superhero stuff out there right now. So I don't know. I have to think about it.
Yeah. Well, finally, what is next for you?
I don't know. You tell me. No.
Arthur Ashe biopic.
There you go. I have a movie coming out February 10th on Amazon called Somebody I Used to Know. Funny rom-com with myself, Allison Brie, Kiersey Clemons, Dave Franco directed it. He and his wife, Allison Brie, wrote the movie. I'm super excited about that. I played Jesus in a show called History of the World Part 2. That's going to be on Hulu in March, which History of the World, the original, was written by Mel Brooks and is very funny, was probably way ahead of its time. We get to kind of go back and revisit that and have a lot of fun with that. It's an amazing, amazing cast. Seth Rogen is in it. Ike Barinholtz, Nick Kroll, Wanda Sykes, Zazie Beetz. It's literally Paul Rudd. It's a crazy cast of folks. So super excited for that. And then I just finished a movie called Freaky Tales that'll probably come out towards the end of the year.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Lots of great projects to look forward to. I'm especially excited for that rom-com on Amazon. I will definitely be watching.
February 10th.
Sounds good.
So soon.
If you don't have Valentine's Day plans, now you do.
Yeah.
Watching some JL's content.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you being here. And I appreciate you listening and watching this episode of the Inside OSU podcast. I'm Megan Robinson. Go Pokes!